the one that's up here speaking on Sunday, but giving my dad a break. He's had some procedures done this week, and so he's a little sore and needed the day off. So it's my pleasure to be able to fill in for him. And so if you don't like what you hear today, come back next week. It'll be different. If you have your Bibles, turn, if you would, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 is going to be our main text for this morning. But I will be kind of backing up and looking at a couple of those previous verses as well. So you might want to stay there. And this is actually part two in a series that I've been doing titled Waiting on God. And I had the privilege of bringing the first message a couple of months ago. And if you missed that message, or you just simply don't remember it, don't worry about it. That's fine. You don't need to have had to have heard that message in order to understand today's. They are completely standalone messages. And besides that, I'll quickly recap what we talked about last time to kind of catch you up. So part one was based on Psalm chapter 62, verses 5 and 6, that says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my hope is from him." And we started to look at that word wait and what it means. And we discovered that the Hebrew word demam means quiet trust. And we spent most of the time talking about what that means, this quiet trust. There's this very important aspect of quieting yourself before God as you wait on him. It kind of takes you to a deeper level of faith when you're able to have this quiet peace and this quiet trust in God. Because at times when things go wrong, we tend to cry out to God. And that's actually a different part of the message. But sometimes we do cry out to God, but there's also this aspect of quieting ourselves before him and having this quiet trust and allowing him to speak to us. And so that is what true waiting on God is all about, to experience more of him in our everyday lives. Well, so this morning we're going to kind of look at a different aspect, another aspect of waiting on God. This word wait means so much in the Hebrew. It means a lot of different things. And so we're going to kind of look at a different aspect this morning. And so our text is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 31. Would you stand with me as we read this passage this morning? Just give honor and reverence to God's word this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says this, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing over your word this morning and the message that's given. May you be able to speak through me freely. And I pray that you prepare our hearts, Lord, to hear and receive from you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is probably one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. You see it on plaques and beautiful pictures with eagles and stuff. And I find it kind of ironic that this verse addresses two problems, areas, if you would, that our culture is kind of obsessed with right now, obsessed with combating. And there's two problems that we have are aging and weariness, tiredness, getting tired. Our culture has become obsessed with anti-aging. There are hundreds of thousands of products out there that boast of taking away wrinkles, softening your skin, shrinking the pores, all with the promise that you will look younger and healthier and prettier than you were when you were young. Speaking of wrinkles, I came across this quote from a guy. I think I'm going to start using it myself. This guy said that his solution to getting rid of wrinkles is to eat until the wrinkles fill out. That's one way to get rid of them, I guess. But we have all these procedures that you can do to make yourself look and feel younger. You have injections that you can get, shots in your face called Botox that paralyzes the muscles under the skin in order to get rid of wrinkles. I have to chuckle every time I think about Botox. It makes me think of the movie Christmas with the Cranks. I don't know if you've seen that movie with Tim Allen. And Mr. and Mrs. Crank decide that for this year, rather than spend all this money on Christmas parties and presents and cards, that they're going to go on this tropical vacation and take a cruise. And they're just going to completely skip Christmas altogether. So they purchase this package to go on this cruise. And in preparation to leave, Tim Allen and his wife, they go suntanning, and he goes and gets Botox injections in his face. And immediately after this, they go out to eat. And so his face is frozen, and he's trying to eat. I think it's like orange slices or something, and the food keeps falling out of his mouth. And then he has to tip his head back, and he's like trying to chew like this. And he's poking his face with a fork. He says, "This is amazing. I don't feel anything." Every time I think of Botox, it makes me think of that scene. But we have surgeries that remove wrinkles in your face. They can do a facelift, cut the skin, pull your skin up, stretch it out. And there are fantasies about finding the fountain of youth. I mean, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, they're looking for this water, this fountain of youth, where it has healing properties and anti-aging elements to it. The dream is to not get older, to not age, and to always look young and beautiful and to retain your physique. And there are so many products out there. There are products to burn fat, build muscle, lose weight, gain weight, or whatever it is that you need to do. The dream is to always stay young and strong. I know I'm not terribly old, but I'm starting to feel the effects of getting older, and it's I understand why people want to seek after these things to make you feel younger. So the other obsession is to have strength, is to have energy, and to be able to stay awake long enough to accomplish your daily tasks. Coffee has become an essential portal to that energy. You know what? Yes. Amen. You know what Caribou Coffee's slogan is? Life is short. Stay awake for it. But for some people, coffee is not enough. That does not even cut it. And they need something with more of a kick and more of a jolt. And so introduce the amazing world of energy drinks, the energy drink industry. I read an article. This is amazing. I read an article that the global energy drink sales in 2020 reached an incredible $57 billion in sales. And get this. Energy drinks have become the second most consumed dietary supplement in the U.S. Wow. In this passage, there is a promise for those who wait on God to be renewed, be made younger, and to find renewed strength like you had when you were still young. I'm going to give you the key thought for the message this morning, right now. If you promise not to zone out on me for the rest of the message, because we're going to dive into this. But here's the key thought for this message this morning. Your belief in who God is and what he can do will greatly affect your waiting on God. Your waiting on God is determined by your understanding of who God is. Your trust in God is going to come from who you believe God to be and what you believe him to be capable of. In the verses before this, the prophet asks Israel this question. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, nor is he weary? See, Isaiah has to remind Israel of who the God is that they are serving. Israel's going through a tough time. They're going through some pretty rough times. They're tired of fighting. They're tired of being attacked by nation after nation, either trying to annihilate them and wipe them off the face of the planet, or trying to absolve them and absorb them into their cultures and into their world systems. They're tired of fighting for survival. And so this whole chapter is God speaking to Israel through the prophet Isaiah, words of comfort and hope and encouragement. And the idea here is that the people of Israel, who are so tired and exhausted, they need to be reminded of who God is and the strength that God has. They need to be reminded that the God that they serve is the God that never wearies, and he never grows tired, and he never gets exhausted. And this is the God that's going to be giving them strength. Their knowledge of who God is, an all-powerful creator, will give them the faith to wait on God and to draw strength and power from him. So the first point to the message this morning is this: recall God's power. Recall God's power. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint, nor is he weary. Church, I know that many of us at times grow weary of the battle. And there's perhaps some of you today that are getting very tired and exhausted of the battles that you've been fighting. Some of you have been fighting battles for a long time. I know some of you have been fighting the political battles. And because of that, your character has been attacked by those who disagree with you. Your reputation has been on the line as people have tried to destroy your reputation. Some of you have been fighting health battles and all of the energy and time that goes into that. Some of you have been fighting the good fight of faith, and you've been defending the Bible, and you've been speaking out and standing up for truth and morality and God's word as this world seems to go completely crazy away from God. And you've been fighting the good fight of faith. And perhaps there are some of you here today or listening online, and you're growing very weary of the battle. And maybe you are wondering if you have the strength to go on. And maybe even at times you wonder if the fight is really worth it, if it's even going to make that much of a difference. You know, I want to encourage you, church, to recall God's power. And remember who it is, the God that we serve, and what he is capable of. And don't give up. You know, this is one way that Satan is successful against the church, is that he wears us down. He is very good at drawing things out. His battle plan is long term. And so he drags things out, and he wearies us down, and he tires us out. And actually, the book of Daniel tells us this. This is Satan's plan. It says, he shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and plan to change times and law. Does that sound at all like today? Words being spoken against God, words being spoken against the Most High, and these plans to change the times in which we're living in, and to change laws. That's exactly the work of Satan and his plan. But his plan is to drag this out long enough that the saints get exhausted and worn out. He's hoping that we'll drop out of the fight and quit engaging in the battle. We are in this spiritual battle. And at times, the battle is wearisome. But I want to encourage you today to wait upon God. Because the promise is, when you wait upon God, that your strength will be renewed. Be reminded of who the God is that we serve. Have you not known? You know. Israel knew the God they served. They heard the stories of Moses bringing them out of Egypt and all the works, the miracles that God did for them. We know. Have you not heard that the everlasting God? So let's look at this power for a moment. First of all, we see eternal God. God is eternal, meaning he has no beginning and no ending. To me, this is what makes God God, is that he is eternal. Right? He was not made. He has no beginning. I can sort of comprehend God having no ending. My little human mind can sort of understand going to heaven and living with God forever and ever and ever and not having an end to it. But you know something that I cannot grasp? Is that God had no beginning. He did not have a start. Before there was anything else, there was God. Because if there was a start to God, then he wouldn't be God. I love the story that Ken Ham tells. He's the founder of Answers in Genesis. And he shares this story about when a little boy came up to him and asked him this question. He said, "Ken, who made God?" And so this is the reply that Ken gives this little boy. He says, "Well, no one made God. Otherwise, you've got a problem. If God was made, that means that it would have had to have taken a bigger God than God to make God. And then God wouldn't be God. The bigger God would be God. But then you have another problem. Because who made the bigger God that made God? Because if he was made, that means it took a bigger, bigger God that made the bigger God that made God. And if he was made, that means that you've got another problem. Because that means it took a bigger, bigger God to make the bigger, bigger God to make the bigger God to make God. And the bigger, bigger God wouldn't be God either. And now you've got another problem." And the little boy goes, "I know." The point is, there's nothing bigger than God. He's eternal, has no beginning. He was not made. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's also, this text reminds us that he's an omnipotent God. Not only is he eternal, he's also all-powerful. He's a creator of all things. Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? You know, scientists believe that there are at least 100 billion galaxies out there. And each galaxy contains billions upon billions of its own stars. And yet the Bible tells us that God knows the exact number of the stars. And not only that, but he's named them all. He's got a name for all of them. I had a hard enough time coming up with four names for my kids. Can you imagine naming billions upon billions upon billions of stars? How big God is. Just a couple of weeks ago, I read an article where NASA was trying out this new telescope. And they noticed this black spot that they hadn't noticed before. When they zoomed in, they discovered a new galaxy and that they didn't know about. And at the end of the article, it came to the conclusion that perhaps there are more galaxies than we know about. And perhaps space goes on for infinity. And they're just now starting to figure that out. What a big, a powerful God that we serve. So whatever battle you're facing this morning, you must learn to see God in comparison to your problems. You need to start, instead of taking your problems and comparing them against yourself, you start comparing them to God. Because suddenly those problems seem to shrink. And God seems so much bigger than your problems. Whatever your need is, if you see God as the direct answer to your need, you will be able to wait on God with the faith that he can supply that need. And whenever you have doubts, and you know what? You will have doubts. And it's okay to have doubts. But whenever you have doubts, you need to remind yourself of who God is. And that he is more than capable of providing for you. Your waiting on God is directly determined by your faith in who God is. Second of all, readily anticipate God's presence. Readily anticipate God's presence. If it's all right with you, I'm going to get a little Bible nerdy this morning. And we're going to look at this word wait here in Isaiah chapter 40. And like I mentioned, this word wait means so many different things. In Psalm 56, it means quiet trust. In one of the other psalms, it means to cry out. In this passage, the Hebrew word for wait here is the Hebrew word kavah. And this is interesting. It means to eagerly look for and to expect. I want you to see how your faith in who God is, the everlasting Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, your faith in who God is causes you to eagerly look for and expect God's help. This is not the word wait, where you sit there on the edge of your seat hoping that God is going to show up and do something, but with the knowledge and the expectation that God is about to do something great. But even more than that, I want you to notice what our eager expectation is to be for. Because so many times our eager expectation is for God to answer our prayers. God, I have this need. I need you to answer it. And that's all fine and well. But according to this passage, our eager expectation is to be for God, for more of Him. Our expectation is that we will experience God and that we will receive more of Him. And again, this is what waiting on God is all about. It is about receiving more of God. And as we receive more of God, those problems that we have, whether He chooses to take care of them or not, it doesn't matter so much. Everything pales in comparison to the glory and the splendor of having more of God in our lives. So as you develop this waiting on God, and you cultivate it, your faith in who He is will grow. And you will find yourself more and more eagerly expecting Him, His strength, His might, and His power. Aren't you glad that God never gets tired, never gets exhausted? He never grows too weary to be able to help us. Never needs a nap. Must be nice. And that God who never wearies will give you the strength as you wait on Him and as you eagerly expect more of Him in your life. Number three, rise up on God's promises. Rise up on God's promises. The promise is that your strength will be renewed. So as you wait on God, as you eagerly expect Him, the promise is that you will be renewed and that you will be lifted up on wings like eagles. And this is an interesting phrase here. This phrase, mount up on wings like eagles, it could mean carried up. And the thought came to me that when a mother eagle is teaching her young ones how to fly, you know what she does? She throws them out of the nest. And typically, eagles build their nests very high, perhaps on the side of a cliff. Could be hundreds of feet in the air. And the mom says, all right, baby eagle, it's time for you to learn how to fly. And she kicks him out of the nest. And so here's this eaglet falling towards earth, screaming towards the ground at 100 miles an hour. And for you young people, you thought your home life was rough. At least your mom hasn't thrown you off of a cliff. And then as this baby's fallen, at the very last second, the mama bird comes down and catches him, swoops down and catches that baby and flies him back up to the nest. And the baby says, thanks, Mom. I thought for sure you had lost your last marble. And Mama once again kicks him out of the nest and he goes flying towards the ground. And this happens over and over again. And the process repeats over and over until finally that baby eagle realizes, hey, I've got these two wings of my own. And they start learning to spread their wings and fly themselves. Over and over, he's carried up on eagle's wings, but not his own. Now, I want to say, I don't believe that's exactly what this verse is saying, but I still think it's a very cool picture of us learning to put our trust and faith in God. That as we jump out in faith, we might fall, but God's going to catch us. And He carries us up and He lifts us up on His wings. But this process repeats over and over until finally the goal is that we're able to rise up on our own wings and to spread our own wings and be able to be lifted up. Deuteronomy 32:11 tells us, like an eagle stirs up her nest that flutters over her young, he spreads out his wings and took him, and he lifted him up on his pinions or his feathers. So I do think that this verse is saying that as you wait on God, that he will renew your strength with his strength, and that you will be carried up on your own wings. The goal is for you to grow stronger and stronger, and so that you'll be able to be lifted up on your own wings as you draw strength from God. Psalm 103, verse 5 tells us this, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your strength to be renewed. I think that this fits in a little bit better with what the verse in Isaiah is saying, that those who wait on the Lord will have their strength renewed, that you will mount up with wings like eagles, that you will run and not grow weary, and you shall walk and not faint. So rise up on God's promises. Number four, rest in God's peace. Rest in God's peace. That the phrase mount up with wings is kind of actually more accurately translated to put forth new pinions, or in other words, to grow new feathers. Have you ever seen birds that have bald spots on them? So birds go through this process called molting, where they renew their feathers. And this happens in stages where they lose patches of feathers all over. They don't lose all their feathers at once, or they'd probably die because they wouldn't be able to fly or anything. And so they lose their feathers in different patches, and they grow new feathers. It's this molting process that they go through several times throughout their life. Well, the eagle goes through this process of renewing his feathers once every year. And this is extremely important, especially as the eagle starts to get to be really old. And I think that this is kind of the idea that Isaiah's given us here. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall put forth new feathers like eagles. They will be renewed, have their strength renewed like the eagle. And so they say that when an older eagle goes through this process, that amazingly, they are able to actually fly higher, faster, and better than even the young eagles. That's incredible. So it's a very important process for this eagle to go through. When they have their feathers renewed, they feel like a new bird, feeling more strength and power than they ever had before. Now he is able to fly up through the storms and get above them. And I want you to notice that the promise is not that the storms will be taken away, but rather that you will be given the strength to endure them, to rise up to the point where the storms of life will not be able to reach you. I find it really interesting. You know, eagles are able to actually soar above storms. They're able to fly high enough that the storm is below them. But they don't always do this. I was kind of shocked to find this out, that a lot of times eagles will actually instead choose to soar through the storm, even in hurricanes. This just kind of amazes me. Eagles have been known to be flying around soaring in hurricanes. And they think that the reason is because with the strong winds, it takes no effort for them to fly. They simply have to spread their wings and tip their feathers in order to adjust where they want to go. They're using the force against them to rise up and to be able to soar, to be able to find a place of peace. The promise is that you will be given the strength to endure. One time I heard a story about an art instructor, and he was teaching this class, and he gave this assignment to his students to paint a picture with the title of Peace. And there were a lot of pictures presented, as you could imagine, that were very calm, serene paintings. One student drew this lake scene, and the lake was totally calm. It looked as clear as glass. You could see the reflection of the trees and the clouds in it. Another student drew a sunset scene on a beach, and there's these waves rolling in on the sand, and the sun is setting on the horizon. All these beautiful scenes. But then they came to the final student's presentation, and he revealed a very different type of picture. He had drawn a very violent storm. There was this cliffside and this huge waterfall coming over this cliffside, and the sky was black with these dark thunderclouds, and lightning was flashing across the sky. The trees are bending in the wind. It was so vivid that you could almost feel the wind and hear the crack of the thunder. And the instructor said, "What is this? Did you not understand the assignment? You were supposed to draw a picture of peace. How does this illustrate peace for you?" And the student then pointed to something that no one had noticed before. There in one of the trees was this bird's nest with a mama bird and her babies. And that mama bird had her wings spread out over the babies. And the student said, "There, that to me is peace. Even with the storm going on around you, you can find peace." I want to encourage you this morning, true peace is not the absence of a storm, but rather it is God's presence through it and in it. So this is the comparison to the one who waits on the Lord, that he will be like the mature eagle who grows new feathers in order to fly higher. And not just soar above the storms, but to soar through them like never before. And then lastly this morning, the last point is this: resume God's plan. I want you to notice that after you have renewed strength and energy, and after you have risen above the storms of life, what are you to do? Well, we are to continue to move forward. Right? The verse tells us, "They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." The final result is that you keep walking, is that you keep running. The call is not to find peace so that you can simply soar above life's trials, but so that you can continue on the work that God has for you. Keep moving forward. Keep fighting the fight. So what is your storm that you're facing today? What is your battle that is wearing you down and causing you to be tired and exhausted? Who is God to you? How do you view God in relation to your battle? Because if you see him as who he is, a big God that is fully capable of handling your situations, your problems are going to grow smaller. And as you wait on God, you're going to be able to renew your strength like the eagles. Could I have you close your eyes and bow your heads this morning? I don't know what battles you're all facing today. I know that we all face them, though. And if you're anything like me, I know that you get pretty tired of the fight. And you get pretty tired of the battle. And there's times that you get pretty exhausted and you wonder if you can really even keep fighting the fight anymore. I know you feel that because I feel that myself. We all do. But let me ask you, who is God to you? Would you recall God's power this morning? Would you bring to memory the things that God has done in your past? Those things that you go back to and you say, "You know what? That was a life-changing moment where God displayed his power in my life. And I can look back on that and remember that the God that I serve is a big God. He is eternal. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. And so this battle that I'm up against is really nothing in comparison to the power that God has. Would you recall his power this morning? Would you readily anticipate God's presence? Are you eagerly expecting God to show up? Or is there this nervous doubt that God really cares about your situation? Or that he's willing to do anything? Now, this word says to expect, eagerly expect God's presence. Are you eagerly expecting him to show up? Would you rise up on God's promises? The promise is that you can draw from God's power. It's not about our strength. It's not about our power. But that we receive our power from God. The Lord who never wearies will give strength. He gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Would you rest in God's peace? And I know that so often we think that peace is just getting rid of the storm. It's the absence of the storm, but that's not what peace is. Peace is God's presence through it. Would you find a place of peace this morning, even if it is in the midst of a storm? And use those things that are coming against you as cause for lift, that you could rise up on them. And then lastly, resume God's plan. God wants us to keep moving forward and to keep on fighting the fight. Paul said at the end of his life, I have kept the faith, I have fought a good fight. Don't ever stop fighting that fight. No matter how wearisome the battle is, you keep fighting that fight, you keep moving forward because God has a plan. The enemy wants us to give up on the battle, but God wants us to keep moving forward. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that this message would be an encouragement and uplift hearts that are here today. Lord, a lot of different aspects to this message. But Lord, I pray that every person would at least receive one part or something from this, Lord, that you would speak to them. I pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit and just really soak it into their heart and their life right now, and that they will walk away from here feeling encouraged, feeling energized, feeling new strength, feeling peace, or finally making the resolve to keep moving forward. Whatever it is, Lord, that everyone here needs today, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us all to take something from this. And as the promise is that we would learn this very important aspect of waiting on you. And as we do, as we eagerly expect you, that we would be like the eagle whose strength is renewed, that we will rise up and find peace in your presence. I ask this, Lord Jesus, in your precious holy name. Amen. Amen. Blessings to you all. May you have a good day. You are dismissed.